Welcome to Dream Path, and our guest, Douglas Newsome. Welcome to the in-between.
You know where I go, where I have to be. I am the traveler who's off the sea.
Country today, and we're going right across the country, the great white north, Canada is amazing. This is my brother Doug. I'm Bob. We're the McKenzie brothers, and we got a great show. It's all about brothers, it's about the in-between, and it's about the great white north.
Who? Between what?
The brothers.
Yeah.
And the in-between.
Are we doing a show now? I thought we were doing a musical gig. Like,
oh yeah, that's right, Doug. Oh, that's good. What's the matter with you?
Get something in my throat.
You're a hoser.
Who's a hoser?
And he's a musician. He's a hoser. He's a musician. Just like a lot of other people I know.
Just like my brother, eh?
Okay, here's my brother, Doug. I gotta go. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Okay, see ya, Bob.
Oh, God.
Hey, guys, get around here, eh? We're gonna...
Oh, my God!
Remember that thing I said about Bob not really being my brother? Let's work on that, okay? We should have him cry by the end of the show.
Hey, where did all this beer come from?
And then we get all the beer.
Look at this.
Because he's a loser, eh? He'll fall for it easy. Yeah, hey, Bob.
Do you see all the beer back there? I didn't see...
Hey, listen, that thing I was telling you about before, you know, about not being my brother. I should have told you sooner, eh?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You're a hoser.
Yeah.
Yeah, take coffee.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You can have my earmuffs for the show.
Ah, come on.
Go on, take them. Get out of here. You're a hoser, eh? And, you know, so if you feel bad about, you know, anything, you know, you can just go into that back room and lay down and cry for a bit if you like, hoser.
Where's the beer? I thought you were going to bring the beer.
I brought the beer, man. It's right here. It's the fake table. You take the cloth up, and there's the Canadian beer.
Hey, you are a hoser. Okay, after the show. What are we going to do? I mean, you're my brother, right?
Not really, sorry. I'll tell you about it after the show.
What?
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not brothers.
Hey,
we're hosers. It doesn't matter. You're a hoser. I'm a hoser.
We're hoser brothers.
We're all hosers. Thanks for listening. Get out of here, right? Take off.
Yeah, take off, eh?
Take off. Yeah, okay. We're going to go back, cut, get into the next segment, and he's going to play some music for you.
Okay. He's dink.
Well, I was trying. Hey, I tried to.
So, how about we do a little bit of news here? Sports check. Or should I put an X here instead? I'm sure they'll let me know. The weather. Yes. Global warming, debatable, check. And, oh gee, there is apparently some controversy going on with this Sam and Manu show on another network. Here's some keywords that'll give you a picture. Monkeys with microphones. Profoundly disturbing. Beyond redemption. Now, is this the sort of thing that you want to read on your resume? I mean, shame. I agree totally with Dr. Fred Bell's comments on this. You people have absolutely no idea of your influence on the internet. I'll give you an example. Dennis came home with some quote-unquote comedy that I absolutely refuse to air on our show as long as my name is still attached to it. This was done after attempting to listen to your show, the Sam and Manu show. The wave is catching. I'm not going to ride on that one, but Sam, contact me. I might have some material you can use on your show. It's going to cost you, though. And if I don't hear from you within a week, it's going on eBay to the lowest bidder. Please, please, listeners, if you find any of our show offensive, contact me, Drum Spirit, at dreampath.info, and we'll definitely have it rectified. And Fred, give me a call. We'll do lunch, okay? Now, back to Douglas Newsome in the green room.
Everyone is
thanks for listening. Get out of here, right? Take off.
You take off, eh?
Take off.
You stink.
Well, I was trying. Hey, I tried to do something.
Hi, Doug. This is Dennis from DreamPath.
Well, hello. How are you doing, Dennis?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully well. I thought I'd give you a call, see how things are this time with you.
Oh, things are going wonderful. You know, I love your music. You know, I really do. It's so unique. Your song, Misty Morning Light, I love that song.
That is how it all started with BBS Radio.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep, because we sent you the CD. Within days, you responded. Anyways, it seemed that way. And it was like, oh, my God, we're on BBS Radio.
Amazing how things transpire.
So I thought, well, you know, if I feel that way, I could send you the CD. I love what you're doing. The point of view there is to bring the artists, the listeners together in such a way that really hasn't been done before. Less controlled, more spontaneous. The kind of music, too, because this way people get to pick and choose what they really want to hear.
Indeed. Well, I love it. I wouldn't, even though we, you know, I'm not taking mainstream music. I really try to give everybody, every group out there that's trying to get a foothold into the music arena a shot. You know, I won't take major labels. I really like to help the underdog, you know? That's something that my brother and I always feel that it's kind of, I guess that's why we're not mainstream per se.
But the music itself, I mean, you must get loads of CDs coming your way.
Too many, yeah. And most of it, I kid you not, yesterday I must have went through at least 80 artists. And, you know, what I do is I pre-qualify them when they come to my attention. And from, let's say, 80 artists, I might pick one or two that to send me a CD. So I might get 10 CDs a week. From that, I might pick maybe 10 songs per month to come onto the network. So I do qualify a lot of that music as best I can. You know, generally they might send me two or three CDs, and I might have one song that I like out of every half a dozen CDs. In some cases, I'll have artists that'll give me, you know, the really good ones that'll have two or three or four songs that we'll put on. But it is difficult to find this music. I've been told that by a person who is the program manager, the music program manager, I believe, for two of the largest independent radio companies in the country. It was Daniel Sanders, my partner on another project. Mm-hmm. Cousins actually is the program manager, and he said that the music that has been chosen is good enough to play nationally, even on mainstream. That was a nice compliment.
It truly is a beautiful alternative. Another thing I find really interesting, just the other day, we happened to tune in to BBS Radio. I think Jared did this on Pure Intuition. And lo and behold, your first show on BBS Radio was on the air.
You're kidding!
No, and we caught it.
That was midnight our time.
It was midnight our time. And so you and Tyler were having a wonderful discussion. And really enjoyed it. That was a great first show.
Oh, yeah. Every chance I get to be around people that want to open up their hearts to new ways of thinking, Tyler's one of them. He came around me and he's changed so much. I mean, in the field that he's in, you know, there's a lot of people that really, in L.A. you see this, a lot of people that don't have that heart. They really are into other, you know, money is important, how they look is important. And, you know, he came around me, saw that whole other part of the world, and I didn't, you know, want to overwhelm him with information, but he started to hear the radio network and started to listen to me speak, and he really changed as a result of that. And the programming is really just a way to further his, to help him. I know that he's very well connected. He's already introduced me to a couple of the former president of Warner Brothers and a few of the big companies out there. And because of that connection, and because he's going to have such a strong, I think, voice sooner or later in movies, because I think he's an up-and-coming actor, I'd really like to see actors out there help the media world or the big movies come out and be more spiritual. I think we could. They've got this huge opportunity and this huge ability to get out there in front of the public's eye, and I think he might be one of them. So the more I talk to him, and the more he starts to change the way he feels and he thinks, hopefully the more he helps other people. That's really why I do this.
Now, you're going to continue with this, right? Is Tyler always going to be with you, or are you going to have other guests, or do you even know right now?
I really don't know. I'm a funny guy that way. I get so busy sometimes. I don't think about it. I really don't. I wrote that book called Bible to Self Awareness, and I haven't done anything with it. I've written three books. When I had my spiritual awakening, it was a few years ago. It changed my life. I'll never be the same. It was like a near death experience, probably even more profound. And it changed me ever since. And from that point on, I've been writing and thinking, but I haven't really done much with it. There's just so much to do. I actually work on another company called Lamas Beauty International. We're all over the country with hair care, skin care, body care, styling products that are certified organic. You know, they're really, really good for you. They're not, you know, just another Me Too product on the shelves. And we're now this year starting to move towards the mass markets like CVS and Walgreens and Target. And it's where all the money comes in that really pays for a lot of these initiatives. Even BBS Radio, between Don and I, we put so much money into it, but it all came by way of Lawmas Beauty. And that takes up probably, up until now, 80% of my focus. But we finally started turning profits in September, and the company's about to take off. And so my job has always been to work myself out of a job. That's kind of how I went at it. You know, if I can get to the point where I know I'm no longer necessary, that's where I want to be.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
You know,
that gets the people involved who are truly involved in that particular aspect or whatever it might be, and they love it.
They do, and yeah. It's more money-oriented. It's tough for me. I've been working on this project for about 7 years, and it's been very difficult for me to remain a part of a company structure like that that's more geared towards money, the end result, than BBS Radio, which is more geared towards helping people change regardless of the dollars. And that's where my heart is. My heart is in BBS Radio, and I really want to be able to spend all my time there into the future and build a media portal for the average person out there and to empower people. So that's where I see my work going towards the future and not in Lawmas Beauty. So now I'm starting to change over back to BBS Radio and starting to focus more of my time there. Next week, for example, Don's given me about a half a dozen agreements to work on to help BBS Radio, and then next week I'm going to be calling all the magazines, you know, spiritual magazines, and seeing if we can't have some sort of a cross-promotional opportunity between us and the magazines where we promote them and they promote us, but we can start becoming regulars in these major spiritual magazines out there across the country. I really think that the focusing on that could really help BBS Radio, so that's where I'd like to apply myself. Of course, there are other areas that I'd like to build BBS Radio, but it's, you know, there's just so few of us and not enough money to go around to pay. So
it helps being twins, doesn't it?
It especially helps when you have a brother like mine who works nonstop and loves what he does. He is a force. He's like a tornado. He comes in and he just changes things.
Yeah, we've noticed. Yeah. Now, it's really interesting because you were mentioning earlier that a number of years ago you had a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
You've written books.
Yeah.
In essence, in the core essence of what this is, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I can. Boy, my brother and I have developed numerous companies since we were 18 years old. And in three instances, one after the other, big companies, you know, we built, we raised millions. They went on to do very, very big things. Mm-hmm. And we put a lot of our heart and soul into it. But sometimes it doesn't take long, like the last company we built. And when we raised them the money and built the company, they owed us a third of the company. Mm-hmm. The company went public, traded around $10, $12 a share, which was worth about $30, $40 million to my brother and I. But they were very powerfully connected, Harvard buddies, Harvard lawyers, and I can remember them sitting in front of myself and my father and said, we're not going to pay you. And my heart sunk, and they, you know, we will destroy you. You'll be flipping hamburgers for a living. And I'd heard this now, because this was a third deal that they did this to my brother and I, third time. And at that, I was so disgusted with business and the people I was dealing with. I thought that everybody was out to hurt everybody for a dollar, being the you know, regardless of who they hurt. I found that most of them were liars, that when the money came in, they usually took most of it. Any way they could, they tried to take the money for themselves, not for the benefit of the company. So I got very, very sad. I started to believe that everybody was a crook, that there were no honest people out there. And you can imagine over a period of about 15 years this occurring, well, not that long, maybe 12, 13 years of this occurring, that you lose a sense of who you are and you lose a sense of the value of people. And I had a change of heart. One day I can remember walking along the side of the street with a gentleman that I'd known for a long, long time, an investor friend. And I can remember thinking, it was at an airport. It was at Washington. It was in Washington State at Seattle Airport. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, you know, Doug, you've got to change your opinion. Somehow you just got to believe that people are good. You got to get away from this idea that everybody's bad. Mm-hmm. And it hit me that I needed this. In my heart and my soul, I needed this. So I started to think that people, you know, when I'd walk along and I'd get upset because maybe somebody would cut me off at the side of the road or somebody would hurt me, I'd think, you know, I got to forgive that person or that event, and I just got to send it love. For some reason, that's what I did. Now, it was hard in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an automatic thing. Yeah, there's a million times that we get up and upset in life. Mm-hmm. So to do that took effort. And that happened for a period of about 4 years that I was doing this. But after the first 2 years of doing this, I started to meditate. You know, 2 years I was forgiving everything and the people. I started to believe that there was good in people, and I started to tell myself that in my own mind. Then after 2 years, I started to meditate. And meditate not in the way of, you know, getting in a lotus position and meditating, but more sitting down or laying down in my bed and really talking to God or the Creator. I like to call, you know, creation. I don't really like the term God, but creation. Mm-hmm. And talking to myself. How do I feel about this? I was visiting every day in my life. I was thinking every hour, every minute. If I did something wrong, I'd question, why did I do that? Why did I feel that? And then I would forgive that event, and I would do this through all the events of the day during the evening. And I found myself crying every night while I was doing this. And it really changed me. Every day seemed to get a little bit easier. And that happened for a period of about 2 years. And then one day I was stepping out of my shower, towel drying, and I felt like I became a globe within a golden globe of light. It was like there was nothing else. It was just a feeling that I was there, and I was encompassed with a knowing. It wasn't any information. It was a connection to everything all at once. And this is what occurred. It must have lasted for minutes. I can remember standing like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, and my towel on my back, and tears were coming to my eyes as I was feeling all the emotion of infinite love with infinite joy, infinite understanding of every moment in my life. It was like when you look at a picture, you can see that one picture. It's hard to focus on two pictures at once. You can't do it. We can't do it. But yet, it's like an event in time. You could focus on one event. But in this case, I was focusing. I knew every event, like each one was individual, but it was all happening at once. Mm-hmm. And what came to me was, well, it wasn't even, it was just a knowing that I was unaware. I was unaware. I was like a baby who was beautiful and unaware and full of love, and I could forgive myself and everyone for everything at that time. And the other thing that occurred was I knew I was a part of infinity. I knew I was a part of everything, and everything was a part of me. So it's a knowing. And I cried, and I had a puddle beneath my feet. I couldn't believe it. I was screaming to eternity, screaming out my tears. Screaming out my tears. Mm-hmm. And it lasted for so long, and it wouldn't stop. And it was like I was enveloped by an inferno of love and light. And that from that point on, for 6 months, I felt different. I was like above, like in a cloud above my head. My presence, my awareness was above my head. I can't really describe that. Everybody I was around, I felt like I was above everything. I wasn't above it like my nose in the air. Mm-hmm. I was just aware of everything at a different level. And I kept on writing, and that's where the understanding, I mean, the works of the Bible to Self-Awareness was written, because I couldn't stop writing. Everything seemed so simple. I realized that everything was simple. Nothing was complicated, and the more complicated it was, the more simple it was.
Isn't that
almost
interesting?
Like roots of words and prefixes of words made sense to me now.
Yeah, yeah. Doug, that is truly profound, and I really hate to interrupt you at this point, but we'll be right back. It's just a little word from our sponsor. You do it all at Creo Monday.
Sing, dance, and stand on my head, or...
While we're doing
so
this...
You started just not too long before we did this.
That's right. That's what we talked about right at the beginning. You were near the beginning.
Yeah. Cool.
And what I'd like you to do right now is just give me 1 minute of Creo Monday in a nutshell.
Creo Monday in a nutshell is a positive way of being. It's making a conscious choice to be surrounded by positive energy and change your life into a positive field instead of absorbing all the negative that's around you. It's a shield to help you lead a positive life.
Yeah, that is a true seeing in clarity. And it's so interesting because it's like that in music as well. I always found if something was really super complicated, I could probably find one chord that I could play throughout the whole thing.
You know, in complication, there is simplicity.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It was a gift. I knew that gift would it changed me fundamentally. It changed me at the core, and I knew that if I could be given that gift, everybody could get it. Everybody. I wasn't that special. Matter of fact, I know I'm not. When I walk into a room and there's a million people in the room, I know that everything is equal in there. Mm-hmm. Everybody, everything is equal. And they can all have that gift if they only ask for it. So that my desire now in life is to really maybe in some way help people reach a something within themselves that brings that awakening out so they can experience that. That would be a dream come true. I can't give it to myself. I know it had to come from everything around me. And I think we have to ask for it and pray for it. You don't get it unless you ask. But I think that there are some steps that you have to put into place before it comes. You know, forgiveness and understanding and love.
And isn't it interesting how then things begin to change? How the perspective changes? A kind of alchemy that happens.
Yes. Yes. It takes a little bit of effort in the beginning, but it gets easier and easier and easier to do. And I know that because I can remember it getting easier, even though when this occurs, sometimes you get even more angry. I found myself at some points getting even more angry, even though I was experiencing the feelings I was and knowing that forgiveness was the key. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would even find myself even more angry than I ever used to get. I don't know why, but it occurred.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's
then I had to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And figure out why that was. And forgive even more. And then after a while, it became automatic. I didn't have to think about it anymore. I just always felt it, and it was a part of my being. And when you get to that stage, when it becomes a part of your being, I think, then these shifts can start taking place. You've changed what you've allowed yourself to be open to a higher energy of love. I don't know if people can be open to that. I mean, some people are scared of love. They can't deal with it. It makes them feel weak or ineffective. Love can do that to people. You know, when you get into a relationship, sometimes you give so much and people get angry because they feel like the more you give, the more they want to hate you for giving. Mm-hmm. It makes them feel weak. I understand that feeling. But people gotta overcome that. It's hard. But then they gotta understand the value of that feeling. They gotta know why that feeling's so beautiful. Not try to avoid it, but integrate it. And I think that takes a little bit of work. You know, you got to sit back and feel, really feel, and talk to yourself about that feeling and what that feeling can do for you and how it might be able to change you and why it might be able to help the people around you. And then you start to understand the value of that feeling. And then you accept that feeling. Because some people can't even accept that feeling. Love is almost foreign to some degree to many. Love at that level. Now, love is a very arbitrary word. We all have different definitions of it. Love could be one. The word one could be love. You know, I mean, everybody has a different definition of it. But for me, there was a fear factor in getting too close because out of fear, and because it was foreign. It's a foreign feeling.
And yet, it's who we are. And the more we're experiencing it, and we are right now, the year 2008 is also a kind of alchemical year. A number of people are beginning to experience who they are.
They are.
And what their gifts
are. Beginnings.
Yeah.
I think on many levels. I think it's a year where one of the hopes that I have and one of the things that I see happening is younger people coming up being more receptive to these feelings. There's more anger and there's more love. There's more of a polarity. But that polarity is showing us the reason why we want to accept one version versus another version. You know, if we didn't have this world in the sort of chaotic state it is, I don't know if so many people would be inclined to wake up. You know, if every day is the same old routine and there's no reason to push your buttons and make changes, you don't. So the world, the way it is actually giving us a gift. This is actually a gift, what the world is giving us, for us to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Without this, without all this turmoil, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't know why it would be important. We wouldn't even feel the urge to wake up.
It was Don who was mentioning that if it wasn't for the light workers kicking and screaming and doing what they do, that, yeah, none of this would be happening right now.
How could it? We wouldn't be aware of it. It's like having bliss on tap. If you were born being on tap with bliss, what good is it? You wouldn't really know the value of it until somebody took you off that bliss. And then, when you're off of it for a while, you start to realize, God, I really like that tap. Get me back on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on many levels, maybe we as perfect beings are discovering why we are so valuable through these processes. And why love is so valuable. So, this is really, like Tyler keeps telling me, this is a reward. Good and bad, this is a reward. Because only through these experiences can we learn who we are and what's most important to us.
Okay, here we are at the Great White North, and I'm Bob, and this is Doug, and we're back again.
You know what I found out, man?
What's that? You're a hoser?
Well, yeah. Where's your tooth, man?
Where's your earmuffs?
They're on my head. Anyways, you know what I found out? If you take your shoes off, you know, it's kind of odoriferous, but...
Oh, God, you have to take them off? Oh, man, how long have you been wearing those socks? What a hoser.
Well, I'm back on. I'm just showing you that, you know, if you ever want to cool your feet off, you just put it on top of this beer case. Good old Canadian beer, too, eh?
We want to talk to those guys down in the south. We're on their show, that BBS... radio thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's internet now.
Oh.
And we're on their show, and they're brothers. They're twin brothers and like...
Hosers?
They're hosers. It gotta be, because they used to be Canadian, eh? And then they defected.
Oh, so they're sort of half okay then, eh?
Yeah, they're half okay.
Hey, how's your beer down there, guys? Oh, well, we did... I think we export some more. Our Canadian ain't now.
Yeah, they really like it. Before I go on, I just want to say this is Don and Doug, and they're Newsome, but they're not Mackenzies like us. They're Newsome.
All right.
Well, we're going to celebrate, and welcome everybody to the show, and we're going to take off to some other place so you guys can take off, and you take can take off, and you're a hoser, and you're a hoser, and you're a hoser,
take
and I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. Oh, put your shoes back on, man. Oh, God.
Yeah, they're nice.
Oh.
Look, the guy from the camera crew over
Don't
there can't
the
even...
Socks off. Oh,
he left the room half an hour ago.
He's lucky. Hey, come on back here. No, we can't
That means
do this
more
again.
Beer for us, eh?
Oh.
They forgot about that. Wages, man. Here, where's that bottle opener?
TV. I wish we didn't have so much, you know, mind you, again, it's not good or bad. My parents always, my mother now, you know, my father just passed away, but
yes.
We talk a lot. And one of the things we were just discussing earlier today was the idea of globalization, you know, and people are afraid of that. Where you have a global dominant group. And I don't have any real fear of that. I don't have fear of change. And the reason for that is, I put it to her a few ways. I said, if you have a company and you build it, and it's a beautiful company, you're going to die sooner or later, and somebody else is going to run that company. Well, you might have created out of your desire to create something beautiful the vehicle for somebody to come along once you're gone, to sit in it, to sit upon that vehicle and do harm because the vehicle's been built that can do harm. So, are we responsible for that? In a way, kind of, we are. In a way, that may not be such a bad thing. It is the way of things.
Mm.
Another thing I was pointing out was, and I don't believe in global. I really wish we didn't have to have this situation where you have a global dominating a voice which tries to pigeonhole us into one dynamic situation where we all kind of go along with the others. But when you're dealing with a world that's limited in size, limited in its resources, and you have an ever-growing population and diminishing resources, on that level, you have millions of more opinions. And it's in some way, we can't all do everything the way we want to do, so we get more and more limited because of this growth in our population, this growth of new ideas, this growth of variation. Remember, on one extreme, you're going to have infinity, yet on the other extreme, you have to have unity. So the more infinity you have, the more unity you have. And like what's happening with globalization, the more autonomy we might have, the more unity we might have on the other end. It's something that's almost a natural progression. So I'm not afraid of it. What bothers me, though, is when all the media companies out there, they don't look at the good part of it. They don't try to empower us. They don't talk about the good information. I think they purport too much of the bad information. And they take away a lot of the ability for us to think. The media right now is owned by maybe five or six major companies that own all the media, and they only give you their points of view. They limit us on so many levels to think along the lines that they think. When they say there's two different parties, that's all we think there is. Well, there can be a million different parties. There doesn't need to be two. There isn't just right and wrong. There's everything in between.
I think everything in between is what is emerging at this time too, unbeknownst to some individuals, let's say, who believe that things are going to carry on the same way that they always have. It already isn't. It already is the in-between manifesting all over the place. And one of them is BBS Radio.
And BBS Radio. Just like there's a globalization of the media,
yeah,
there's going to be a proliferation of voices, new voices, at the bottom that are going to, I think, be the opposite side of the spectrum. And BBS Radio will be that opposite side of the spectrum, I hope. I hope it can be the voice for the common man and be an empowering source for people into the future. I really want to believe that BBS Radio will be the most empowering organization in the world. Self-empowering organization for the individual.
Yeah. Where people make choices, then it's so important that that those choices are made and not in any way, shape, or form forced. And they, you know, what's so nice about the arts? The arts don't force; they only bring to light.
Well, teachers don't really. Teachers instruct in a tool's use.
You know, and that's another thing. What some teachers could be doing is when a student comes up with a formula, an idea, a concept that is really quite unique or brilliant, instead of going, well, I don't think that's you know, the way we should do it, instead it's going, you know, John, that is an excellent idea, and why don't you talk about it some more so that everyone else can pick up on it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. If we could only do this for our children, in our education system, because there's just so much in between. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
You know, I think we could call this the in-between show.
Even to this day, I find the greatest peace in the world by working with my hands. You know, there is something to be said. If you have a bad day, go outside, put your hands on the earth, and smell the ground. And just lay there. Just the smell of earth, the feel of branches in your hand, it can make you alive. There's something there that invigorates me. And I think it would invigorate anybody who'd give it half a chance, but that is one of my biggest loves, is to go out there and just lose myself in gardening and landscaping and working with my hands and toiling. It's a great love of mine.
That's what we would do, right, Jera? I mean, Jera did live in the country, right out in the country. Deer, bear, everybody. There was beautiful carpets of moss, especially in the spring. And the, you know, the little brooks are running by. And you lie down on that moss. And you just listen to nature around you.
Yes.
And is there a need for anything else?
You can lose yourself. You transcend time.
Exactly. I was alone for years with the firewood and the whole bit. And people would often ask me, why do you think you're so enlightened, so evolved, that you can walk away from being in a relationship with mankind, humanity? It was something I had to do. And with each passing month, I was more of my surroundings than I was in the human race. Every rock spoke to me. Every tree, I had a healing tree. We had Shaman Wendy come and say that the place was just full of Tililiqua and fairies. And when I finally left on the day I was moving out, which was breaking my heart, I was coming back to Toronto, the last box to be pulled away from the wall to be loaded onto the truck, I saw, I'm going to cry, it was like this little arm with three fingers that almost looked like a branch, grab out and hold that box. He didn't want me to leave. Every time I'm lost in the city, that's where I go in my mind. The deers, you know, the beavers, the wolves, the bears, and they were all there, and they were all living in harmony, and I was in harmony, and I got to the point where I trusted nature enough to be a little overconfident in approaching. But I always felt safe. There was a communication.
That is very spiritual.
Yeah.
Very spiritual. That feeling never, even I being now, well, I just got back up here to Washington State to be with my mother, but now I live in Los Angeles, downtown. You know, I make a lot of sacrifices to be there, and it's very hard to be in a world where everything's brick and stone. I mean, it can be beautiful, but it feels suffocating to me, and I don't get a chance to really breathe and feel open to the world. I almost feel like I want to close myself in on many levels, stay in my apartment, not get out, because there's really nothing to get out to.
Mm.
I really miss being a part of the nature, and I'm looking forward to some point in my life being able to give myself the opportunity where I can be back in it. It's one of the most difficult things to do is live in a city for a person who's like us. I do believe that's a very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be a part of nature. We are a part of nature.
We are a part of nature. For us, it's a real celebration, and it's just wonderful to have you on Dream Path, Douglas Newsom. It is wonderful that you could join us at this time and share with us some heartfelt and insightful views. I'm sure many of our listeners are glad to hear and probably understand in their own hearts that for them as well, this is a very special time.
And welcome to the brothers, Yorkie.
Yorkie.
Hey, Yorkie. We're having a great time today. And we are having a great time because you're having a celebration with your new found love.
What?
Your newfound love. You were telling me all about it last night. You were so excited.
Yeah. You know what I did? I bought this sausage.
Oh.
You can still smell it on me.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
So the women seem to be attracted to the sausage.
Yeah.
Is it Polish sausage?
Oh, yeah.
Italian sausage?
I got from Old Country.
Old Country.
Where else are you going to get sausage like this?
Oh, yeah. Yorkie, this is good sausage. Oh. Eva Rita, Eva Rita, yes, well, we have to share this with you. Anyone who would like Yorkie to bring you sausage, we bring you sausage every morning by listening to the music.
We not spike it with LSD either. That was just...
That was Yorkie making joke.
Making joke, yes.
Just to make
he's
a
not,
joke.
He's not a Mexican alien.
No, there's no such thing.
We all love this country.
We always speak the same way as just you, American.
Yeah. America.
We okay.
America.
So we say to you everywhere, we are glad to be here, and we'll share with you the sausage, we'll share with you the aroma, and...
Hey, don't share too much of the sausage, eh?
Italian friend.
Now we go to Rome, and do we visit... Ah, there he is. We're here at the Vatican.
Nomine Patri, Filius,
the Vatican, where...
Spiritus Sancti.
His popeness is here right now, and he is going to speak to the masses and let them know that, well, we have to conform or something like that. Okay, here we go.
I'm
And that was his Popeness, and we thank you for joining us. We have another
skylight in the horizon. Just wait. Be right back.
Longer, you know, looking for the savior. The savior that we're looking for or have been looking for in the past really is with us now. What we are here to offer something that we have never really experienced before. This is really truly brand new.
I think so. I think now rather than looking for an outside savior, we're looking for an inner connection. You can't build a better, you know, bridge to the infinite because it's within you. Mm. But I think the awareness of that connection to the infinite is what we're seeking the most. I think it takes away when you know that you're a part of everything, the loneliness that I used to feel, or the incompleteness, or the reason for my existence. All those questions were almost gone away because I knew. You know your purpose, you know your reason, and those things don't become questions when you really feel connected. The idea of being disconnected can give you those feelings, but when you know that you are a part of it all, that longing, that hole in your heart that people speak about that they can never seem to get rid of, doesn't exist. It's filled. It's filled with so much love. It went away from me. It doesn't exist for me. You know, and I remember feeling that and never being able to figure out why it was there. It just isn't. That feeling is gone. It's been replaced by something totally beautiful and far more encompassing than I could have ever dreamed of. I mean, I still go to bed at night and wonder why I was given such a gift. And not wondering why I personally can't help other people in a broader way, help them experience that gift somehow show them a way that they can reach that gift. But it's not up to me, it's up to them. Mm-hmm. I can only tell them that it's possible. And if they believe it's possible, if they can dream that it's possible, then maybe more people will be able to reach that. And from here on forth, great, wonderful things are going to occur as we come together, mm-hmm. people of like spirit come together. A real dynamic shift where everybody will wake up, they'll go bing, and they'll be aware of something they weren't aware of before. I really believe that. That's the hard part. Yeah. You know, actually believing. They say you can only go as far as you believe. Mm-hmm. You know? So try to stretch your beliefs a little bit further. Because then you can go a little bit further. You know, the idea of fairies and UFOs and energy in trees and pixies and loved ones speaking to us. Well, I think there's a real need for that because it furthers the idea of what we can believe, what could be possible. And that allows us to be able to do that more and more and more to some degree because our beliefs are growing larger. You know, when people try to limit those beliefs, anybody's belief, that's when we stop to grow.
Hi, I'm that little voice that keeps popping in and out. So I find in front of me again a microphone. They're expecting me to say something totally profound to the audience here. So we're doing part two of our interviews with the founders of BBS Radio. I'm doing a Don Newsom. BBS Radio. And we had Donald on last week, and now we have Douglas Newsom. Let me tell you how this has been for me. You know, I'll give you an example of that. Do you remember those old Certs commercials with the twins. And, well, in the case of the Newsom brothers, one is eye candy for Sister Mandy, and the other I would not kick out for leaving crumbs in the kitchen. So, take it away, darling. You can sing these songs so much better than I can.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
You know, I think Don Newsom is actually afraid of me. You know, he conveniently does not remember the call-in 800 number to his show from Canada. I think he's fearful that I'm going to call in. I know there is at least one person listening, as we have them handcuffed here in the back room, only in Canada, eh? Well, you want to kick that pipe one more time? We might get some heat in here. Yes, I know, darling. Yes. I'm going to give you right now the 800 number for Canadians calling into a Station 1. It's 888-815-9756. Let me repeat that a few more times so it'll be embedded in the download.
888-815-9756.
It's 888-815-9756.
Children are there to do, which is to grow. They're hungry for it all. Allow them. You know, that is another thing about Aboriginal, the native cultures, often very interesting way of raising their children, giving them a name at birth, and knowing it was their gift, and honoring that gift. And at the same time, the child began to know the ways of the tribe, of working together, and what those different gifts were, and honoring all of those gifts.
Indeed.
And so that is a teaching that all these teachings are coming to us now, and there's these truths that we can feel and honor. And when we come up, I mean, in life, we get to meet up with these things, and this is what's happened for us as well. The more we expanded out, the more we began to meet up with exactly those things that inspire us, and to see them in the forms that we do, whether it's through song, through meditation, through joining with people in a celebration, in having a private conversation. All of these things are really special and unique. And a way of communicating
in between.
Yeah, and then, you know, and take it out of the classroom and take it out of the mind, because there is the theory of things, and then put it into some creative action, some creative expression.
Yes.
You know, whatever it might be. You know, whatever it might be.
Yes. Give them the ability to think and be creative and feel right. The information you gave them.
Yeah, right on the spot.
Yeah.
So. Singing songs of love. Singing songs of love coming up, because we're coming to the, sadly as it is, coming to the end.
Well, this is one of the finest interviews I've ever had. You two have such beautiful hearts and souls. I can feel that energy from here. I'm on a cloud nine right now, knowing I got the opportunity to visit with you both. I feel so good about your energy. You couldn't imagine it. You've made my day. You've made my week. And I'm honored, and I'm thankful.
Wow.
Likewise, I'm speechless.
Thank you.
No, it really is. And I feel the same way. I really do. And we're going to continue in this family we're calling it BBS Radio now, but it is expanding in so many different ways. And that's what's so wonderful. There is no control in that sense. It's just opening up more and more and more sharing.
To one big family.
Yeah.
I really feel like BBS Radio is a family of love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I'm so proud of my brother for doing what he's doing and spending the time to bring us all together in through these forums and you and all the hosts. This is just a miracle. BBS Radio to me is a miracle, and I'm thankful every day to be a part of it. Thankful every day. I mean, it's become a part of my life more so than anything else ever has been.
From the heart, from Jer and I, a big hello and lots of love to Hildy.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I know she'll be tickled, and I will share your wishes, your sentiments with her. You know, she loves everybody. She listens to the shows avidly, and she's going to be listening to this one.
Great.
We'll say to everyone, keep listening. There's always more to come. You're listening to Dream Path on BBS Radio. Thank you, Doug Newsom. Thank you. You're a wonderful guest.
I have enjoyed it, and I look forward to the next opportunity.
There we go. Yeah. We'll be listening.
Anytime.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
We are at another close of Dream Path. And Dennis and I would love to extend our gratitude to our guest, Douglas Newsom. It has been such an honor interacting with you and your family over these past few weeks. May joy and health abound. I am the sacred space between the originating thought and the mirror, as you are too. What is the reflection that you are creating? Dream Path, Dream Path to Starship Control, over and over and over.
Singing songs.
stars.